Hey everybody, it's Shaman Sister Sin, and you're listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by Transrelational Healing and LittleShaman.org. That's me, the Little Shaman. Today, I wanted to talk to you about something that is important to consider when talking about narcissists, psychopaths, and other antisocial personalities, which is what happens when there are too many of them. Humans are social creatures. Not only do we need other humans for companionship in order to thrive emotionally, psychologically, and even physically, but to ensure survival of our species, humans evolved to live cooperatively. We live in communities together, and this is advantageous to all the human beings in the community. In order to achieve that, humans have had to develop things like empathy, guilt, shame, remorse. These things, while unpleasant, are necessary for humans to live together cooperatively because without them, there's nothing to stop antisocial personalities like narcissists and psychopaths from harming other people and through their antisocial behavior, damaging the entire society or the entire community. If we think about how antisocial personalities behave, it's easy to see how this can occur. For example, in a family structure, one single narcissist can impact or even destroy the entire thing for everybody. They can tank the finances, they can cause the loss of property, shelter, transportation, and much more. They can affect the health and well-being of all living things, up to and including causing their deaths. This can be achieved through simple selfishness and neglect, however, it often includes malice and intentional hurt. If we expand the micro to the macro, we can see how even more devastating the results are, with more and more people being harmed. From the workplace, religious and spiritual communities, entire segments of society, even countries and nations. History is unfortunately replete with examples of antisocial personalities attaining positions of power and the damage that results from this all too common occurrence. To say that people have antisocial personalities means the way that they think and behave are not in alignment with what is required to live successfully in a society with other people. The empathy, guilt, shame, remorse, compassion, and all the other things that make collaborative living possible are either not present in these people or are dysfunctional to the point of rendering them useless, resulting in a personality that does not function well in society, in large part because they cannot be trusted or relied upon. Society, being defined here as a cooperative community of human beings, is predicated on pro-social personalities to make it work. People who do have empathy, who do feel shame, who do express compassion, who can feel guilt. People who follow basic rules, respect the rights of others, carry their own weight, who don't intentionally harm or kill other people. A society comprised entirely, or even mostly, of antisocial personalities would not be sustainable. Without respect for the rights of others and adherence to basic rules of decency, society falls apart. Because of this, there need to be more pro-social than anti-social personalities in any community in order for it to be sustainable, in order for the community to survive. To understand what that means, imagine if nobody respected traffic laws or the rights of the other drivers. Imagine if everybody simply just took what they wanted, regardless of whether they have the right to take it or not. Serial killer Israel Keyes once said, "Everything is free if you take it." Imagine if everybody had this mindset, if nobody respected the rights of other people in the community. Down to the most basic facets of life, it would not be sustainable. This just would not work. Society is predicated on people doing at least the bare minimum of respecting the rights of other people. In most groups, antisocial personalities who do not contribute positively, who do not follow the rules and do not respect the rights of the other people are generally removed from the community. Depending on the culture of the community, they might be banished, they might be imprisoned, they could be exiled, they might even be killed. It's a very simple equation. Those who demonstrate their willingness to harm or even destroy the community are removed from it to protect the survival of the community as a whole. Larger communities are able to support more dysfunction, and this is how many antisocial personalities are able to remain in our society in the way that they do. The pro-social people essentially carry the antisocial people because the antisocial people are part of the community, and therefore they fall under that umbrella of protection. Though they are able to do a lot of individual damage, they cannot undercut or even destroy a larger society the way they could do to a smaller group because there's not enough of them. The pro-social people outnumber them, and this mitigates the damage that they are able to do to society as a whole. But what happens when there are too many antisocial personalities in a society? What would happen if the number of pro-social and antisocial personalities was equal, or if there were more antisocial personalities than pro-social? It's a frightening question. We appear to be in the midst of a narcissistic epidemic. It's true that some people use this word too loosely. They label every unpleasant behavior as pathological narcissism and every run-of-the-mill cheater as a narcissist. But it's also true that long-term studies show people legitimately are more narcissistic than they used to be, and that there actually are more people we would consider narcissists than there were in decades past. This is no surprise, considering, for example, so many narcissists were themselves raised by a narcissistic caregiver. It stands to reason that the more narcissists you start with, the more you're going to end up with. A narcissist who has 3 children, for example, could potentially have brought 3 more narcissists into the world. If they then have 3 children each, that is 9 more potential narcissists, and so on and so on and so on. Of course, that's just an example. That's not always how it works. Younger people are typically more vulnerable to the manipulations of antisocial personalities as well. Having less experience and wisdom to draw from, younger people are also typically more fertile, which results in more children being created by antisocial personalities, creating more antisocial family systems, and therefore increasing the likelihood of more antisocial personalities in general. Genetics may play a role here as well. It isn't just this, though. In many ways, our environment condones or even rewards toxic narcissism. Things like social media, for example, contribute to it. More and more movies, media, music, and many other things embrace a brand of normalized toxic narcissism. Those things that don't reward it often just completely ignore it. Society defines what's expected, and what is normalized in a society will become commonplace, even if it's toxic and disruptive. If we think along the lines of cause and effect, or even just observed correlative factors, we can see patterns start to emerge. For example, a very common correlative factor that we see in the histories of antisocial personalities is emotional neglect and abandonment of some kind. One only needs to imagine a parent who pays more attention to their devices than to their children, for instance, to imagine how that could potentially affect that child and therefore our entire society in the long run. When we are raising children, we are creating the next generation of society, of people, and what has become normalized in society becomes their guide regarding what is okay and what is not okay to do, think, feel, and believe. If there were more antisocial personalities than pro-social, society cannot sustain itself. In fiction and in reality, when there has been a collapse of society, it's a common theme that antisocial personalities have taken over, and that they either caused the collapse or they swooped in during a weakness in order to take control. This is because that's a very easy scenario to imagine, and also because it's the one that makes the most sense. Antisocial personalities generally seek power, and if there's an opportunity to take it, many of them will do so. What we also see in both fiction and reality is that the society cannot thrive under the rule of antisocial personalities once the pro-social personalities have been exhausted or eradicated somehow. It falls apart. This is because cooperative living isn't possible with people who are so single-mindedly selfish and egocentric. The needs of the many do not matter to them, and they're unable to understand that harming the many is also harming themselves in the long run. Again, history is replete with examples of this. There are segments of society that already exist in which there is a preponderance of antisocial personalities, where they rival or even outnumber the pro-social personalities. Prison is one of these segments of society, for example. As we stated earlier, when people exhibit antisocial behavior, society generally removes them from the group in order to prevent them from harming the rest of the people. In our particular society, putting people in jail or prison is one of the ways that we do that. As a consequence of that, the number of antisocial personalities in that segment of society is higher than in the general population. The environment and the culture of prisons in general reflects that. They are often places of violence, of criminal enterprise, of created hierarchies and factions, places with no safety, no trust, no peace. It's a culture that operates on fear and power instead of cooperation and compromise. This is what you end up with when antisocial personalities outnumber pro-social personalities. You can't run a society like that. Taking everything else out of the equation, fear and power only go so far. Fear will wear out, or it will be overtaken by righteous anger eventually, and power only lasts as long as the fear does. Then it can be taken away. It's only through cooperation and compromise that we can create the type of mutually beneficial society that we need to create in order to survive and thrive as a species. Too many antisocial personalities destroys that balance, leaving us with a culture that operates under a ticking clock, a time bomb threatening to explode if the scales tip too far in the other direction. The takeaway from this perhaps dreary picture is, what can we do? Don't let anyone rob you of your kindness, your compassion, your empathy, your consideration. We all need each other, because without us, there's nothing to build. There's nothing to care about. There are only selfish, childish people who would literally destroy everything without even realizing they're harming themselves too. Keep your humanity. We need it. I hope that clears a few things up for you. As always, I look forward to your comments, questions, and suggestions, so please keep those coming. Transrelational Healing is out and available on Amazon and littleshaman.org, so you can get your copy of that today. I take appointments online, over the phone, via text, via messenger, via email, and through Skype worldwide. So if you are interested in speaking with me one-on-one, you can visit littleshaman.org to do that. I teach workshops, clinics, and seminars throughout the year. So if you are interested in seeing what we are running this month, you can visit littleshaman.org to do that. And if you're interested in joining our support group with access to exclusive content and weekly support meetings plus more, you can visit littleshaman.org to do that as well. You've been listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by Transrelational Healing and littleshaman.org. That's me, Little Shaman. May the Great Spirit bless you. Have a beautiful day.